very warm welcome to our service at Emmanuel this morning, whether you're here in person or you're listening in a few days' time to the online recording of the service. And let's remember, as always, those worshipping our same God in other parts, particularly in Christchurch and Bath Road, our partnership churches in Old Town, and particularly our friends at Highworth, whose service this morning is being taken by Robert. And in Robert's absence, we're delighted to have with us again the Reverend Moira Slack, who is a member of the Christchurch team. We very much look forward to your message this morning, Moira, and we welcome Anthony, who you have brought with you. There are two readings this morning. The first one from John's Gospel, I will be reading, Don MacArthur, and the second reading from the Book of Acts will be read by Eddie Thomas. There is tea and coffee after the service. You're all very welcome to join us, whether you're a regular or a visitor. Please come and join us for tea and coffee after the service. And if that whets your appetite for more tea, please come along to the special service of praise at 4 o'clock this afternoon in the hall. The service will only last an hour. It'll include tea and coffee and cake, so please come along and swell the numbers if you possibly can. I only have one other announcement to make, I think, unless anyone thinks I've missed something, which is that we've been asked by the organisers of the music marathon a week or two ago to say that funds are still coming in, but at the moment it is roughly £25,500 collected for the Prospect Hospice. A wonderful result, I'm sure you'll agree, and as I say, there is still money coming in. Yes? I just said the tea. I just mentioned that. I didn't use the words tea service. So the service I'm encouraging you to come along to at 4 o'clock this afternoon is the tea service.
Is there going to be bone shiner, or do you know the fingers crooked and all that?
I'm not involved in that sort of detail. Right, I shall now light the Christ candle and the peace candle as we take a few moments to prepare ourselves for worship.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And it's a joy to be here with you again today. I didn't see anybody dancing in the aisles, but I hope that service has put us in,
that song has put us in the right frame of mind to rejoice with our risen Lord.
We begin our service this morning singing hymn number 104, and I'm asked to tell you that we will omit verse 4, which is an interesting verse, and actually I think reminds us perhaps of the frailty of our human life, but actually tells us that we come from the eternal and we will return to the eternal. But anyway, hymn number 104 without singing verse 4. Please sit down. We don't have a printed order of service this morning, but
there is an order of
service, and it is more or less, I think, the form of service that you are normally used to. Did anybody hear the morning service on Radio 4 this morning?
They began with
that hymn, and I'm very glad. It was played so fast, I think they went through four verses, and I'm sure neither singers nor musicians took a single breath in that time. Father, we thank you that you have called us each by name. We thank you that you knew us even before we were born, that you know us from eternity and to eternity. We thank you that we are able to join you in worship this morning, to join together with one another, to blend our voices, to blend our prayers. Amen. As our Saviour taught us,
so we pray.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed
be thy name.
Come. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We will sing again now hymn number 317, Lord, thy word abideth. Could we have our first reading, please?
If you wish to follow the first reading in the Pew Bibles, you will find it in the New Testament section, page 105. 105 in the New Testament. The reading from St. John's Gospel, chapter 14, starting at verse 15. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said to him, 'Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?' Jesus answered him, 'Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The disciples, of course, had been on an emotional roller coaster, coming into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, suddenly surrounded by people cheering and waving branches torn from the trees. A few days, and then the intimacy of the Last Supper. The terror of Jesus' summary arrest in the dark garden, and his trial. The agony of the crucifixion, his and theirs. The despair of the stone rolled into place, sealing the entrance to the tomb. Then Jesus had come back from the dead and had been mysteriously appearing and disappearing at various times and in various companies. Just imagine, the disciples must have been in such a state of shock, such a state of wondering. In the book of Acts, St. Luke picks up the story where the Gospels end. We are coming to the end of the Easter season. Thursday is Ascension Day, when we will recall that moment when the cloud lifted Jesus from the earth, leaving his bewildered disciples gazing up into the skies. What now, they must have wondered. What did it all mean? Especially for them. They'd spent 3 years following the teacher as he wandered round. What was going to happen next? Were they too going to be arrested? What was going to happen? For 4 weeks since the great celebration of the Easter feast, the church has been focusing on the risen Jesus. Now, as we come towards the end of the Easter season and begin looking forward to celebrating Christ's ascension, quickly followed by the feasts of Pentecost and Trinity, our attention shifts to the threefold nature of God. God the Father, Almighty, omnipotent, all-knowing, creator of all, whatever words you might attach, we can begin to grasp the concept of the Father, no matter what our personal experience of human fatherhood may have been. God the Son, Jesus, was born in human flesh, born like one of us, precisely so that we might begin to identify with him, to know that whatever we might experience in our lives, he has already experienced. That every joy, every pain, every fear, every triumph, every anger, he has known. But what of God the Holy Spirit? Now that, I think, is an altogether trickier matter. The language used to describe the Holy Spirit of God, flame, wind, ruach, Greek word for the breath of God. These speak to us of an intangible, fleeting persona. While depictions such as a dove, a cloud, a beam of light suggest freedom and weightlessness, yet there is immense power in the Spirit. 2 weeks ago, a number of folks from the churches in the Old Town Partnership were confirmed here at Emmanuel with the exhortation, "Confirm, O Lord, your servant with your Holy Spirit." Amen. I was not here. I was at St Paul's, Covingham, so that Trudy could present one of her candidates. But as far as I know, there was not for them any flame, no doves, no sudden happenings, but the silent conferring of inspiration and the promise of covenantal relationship. Like the air all around us, we believe the Holy Spirit is always with us, invisible, indefinable, constantly surrounding us, filling us, encouraging us, willing us to change, if we each will let ourselves be changed, that is. In my time, I've heard many reactions from many people following baptism, confirmation, or ordination. Sometimes they are deeply emotional experiences. It was like floating on air, being bathed in light. Maybe, like John Wesley, feeling their heart strangely warmed. Others, though, have spoken of their disappointment. "I thought I'd feel different," I've heard, "but nothing's changed." It depends, of course, what kind of change one expects, but whether or not change is immediate, whether or not change is perceived, changed we are by the presence of that Holy Spirit. Could we have our second reading, please?
The second reading is taken from Acts chapter 16, verses 9 till 14, and you'll find that on page 132 of the New Testament section of the Bible. Acts 16, 9 to 14. The reading is headed Paul's vision of the man of Macedonia, and is particularly poignant to us as we've just returned from visiting churches in Macedonia. "During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia and is a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman called Lydia, a worshipper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Would you just like to explain, in case somebody doesn't know, where Macedonia is? Where's Macedonia?
North Macedonia is in former Yugoslavia, and Macedonia province is in northern Greece.
So you kind of get a picture of that northern coast of the Mediterranean, or southern coast of the Mediterranean, sorry, the north of where Paul was coming from. Following the accounts of the ascension and the coming of the Holy Spirit on the disciples at Pentecost, Acts goes on to chronicle the beginnings of the church. Following the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter which is promised in the first reading. Acts begins with Peter in Jerusalem and later with Paul, following his transformational encounter on the road to Damascus. We are more or less familiar with Paul's journeying around the lands surrounding the Mediterranean Sea, founding Christian communities in Corinth, Galatia, Ephesus, Philippi, Thessalonica, and in other places, communities to which he wrote his epistles. Paul's chaotic journeys, interspersed with shipwrecks and imprisonments. In this second mission, Paul has come to lands that we now call Greece and Turkey, apparently in response to a dream he had had. They were lands crisscrossed in the days of the Roman Empire by trading routes bringing much prized commodities, exotic fabrics, spices, minerals, and all sorts of rich things from the East. Hence that reference to purple cloth. You may or may not know that in those days, purple was one of the most expensive dyes you could have, and purple cloth was very expensive. Lydia, we can be sure, was quite a rich woman and a woman of influence. These are lands which are now often targeted by migrants coming from Africa and from the Middle East in small boats. But at that point, they were a rich mixture, as they are now, perhaps as they always have been, of cultures. We can imagine the different languages, the different clothing, the different customs of people. Our lives may or may not take us to such faraway places, and certainly, I think, not at a whim. We would want to plan things out. We would want to know that we knew where we were going, where we were staying. We wouldn't just go, as Paul seems to have done, having had a dream. But wherever we travel, we will meet so many people on our way. Some, like Lydia, will be receptive to our witness, and others less so. I wonder, did you actually speak to people as Paul did as you were on your travels? Just those random conversations over a beer or over a coffee or whatever. And we have conversations. I used to not exactly relish having to queue up in the supermarket, but on the other hand, when you're standing in a queue, you can always catch someone's eye, and there will always be some connection between you. Maybe, oh, that looks tasty. Or, oh, that's what I've forgotten to get on my shopping. But just something that triggers a thought in our mind. And often as you go through life, those little conversations, those many conversations you forget, those many encounters that have just totally vanished from your memory, are the important ones, the ones that change something, that just spark something in your mind. We heard in that first reading the question, why are you revealing yourself to us and not to the world? God reveals himself to the world now through us. It's our job, it's part of our life to actually share his word, to share it with those around us, our friends, our families, our colleagues, our neighbours, those we might meet incidentally. May we, like Paul, be open to the Spirit's bidding, convinced too that God calls us to proclaim the good news to all. Defend, O Lord, us, your servants, with your heavenly grace, that we may continue yours forever, and daily increase in your Holy Spirit more and more until we come to your everlasting kingdom. Amen. As we turn towards prayer, I'll ask you to look for hymn number 309, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on us. Play that once again for us, and we will sing this time. We will sing the words of 308 as a second verse. Pray for the church and for the world. After each section of prayer, I will leave a few moments for our own thoughts. It's a privilege to lead people in prayer, and yet we all come with our own thoughts, with our own feelings, with our own concerns. So, as we pray together, let us silently in our own hearts lift our prayers to God. Lord, we pray for areas of conflict in this world, for the areas that so often appear on our television screens, for the violent conflict between Ukraine and Russia, between Jew and Palestinian, between factions in many countries of Africa. For those who have no safe place to lay their head. Those who have no access to clean water or little food to feed their children. Those places where there is mistrust between communities, between neighbours, within families. The millions around this world who face displacement, for those who right now are on the road or on the seas, Lord, we ask that you will send your Holy Spirit to change the hearts and minds of men. To bring back to this world the harmony in which you created us. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We pray for our own communities, for our government and our local councillors, for leaders of industry, for those who are responsible for the employment and well-being of others. We ask that they may be guided by the good of the world and not by personal greed. Pray too for those spheres in which we have influence. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We pray for our school communities just beginning this half-term break. Thinking of those who are beginning their school days, for pupils beginning their journey in reception or nursery, and for teachers newly qualified and setting out on a new career. For those who are ending their school days. Pupils who right now are taking GCSE and A-level exams. And those who will soon be moving on. The staff who are retiring. For all who are facing change. May our schools be places of security, places of joy, places of learning, places of inquiry, places of sanctuary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We pray for all who are distressed or who are in pain. For the sick, in body, mind, and or spirit. For the frail and the confused. The lonely, the anxious. For those who are coming to the end of life. And for those who grieve. May each be filled with peace, free from pain, released from anxiety, pray too for those who treat the sick and care for them, the staff in our hospitals, the hospice, in residential homes, and those who care in their own homes. For those who are on our hearts and minds today. Come, Holy Spirit, come. And we pray for those who are yet to hear the good news, for those who have been hurt by the church, for those who turn their backs on you. May each be filled with the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. And we pray for ourselves, that we may be your eyes and ears and hands and voice, your feet on this earth, that we may bring others to worship you, to invite you into their hearts and into their lives. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Our final hymn this morning is hymn number 663, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Oh. Sure? Bring up the offering, I'm told. Bless, O Lord, the work to which these offerings and all our talents will be used. In the name of Christ, our living Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us still, evermore. Amen. Now we'll sing. May the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord turn his face towards us and be gracious to us and keep us in his peace. The blessing of God Almighty, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest upon each one of you and all those for whom you care and pray this day and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
When you go out in a glorious Salvation Army hymn, go out in the strength of the Lord. But first I ask you just to sit while we play another piece of music.
Church.
of God, arise.